The 9 a.m.ers that were in here, you guys are the faithful for being here on Thursday morning of workshop. We are so glad that you came, and a lot more will be strolling in as the day progresses, but thank you for being here. 10 a.m. Exchange Center, the speaker for this hour is Tim Luster. He is one of our local ministers, and we are so very happy to have him as part of our speaking group. He is from the North Sheridan Church of Christ here in Tulsa, not too far away from the fairgrounds. And how many of you are from North Sheridan? All right. Thank you very much for coming. We are so glad that you are here, and we are happy to have Tim on our platform this morning. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for today. Thank you for the chance to be here. Thank you for the chance to wake up this morning and to get out of bed and to experience your creation. And Father, now thank you for Tim and for the words that he will bring to us. May they be the very words from God, from yourself. Would you fill him with your spirit? Give him words that will inspire and challenge and encourage us. Give us ears to hear. Help us to listen and to understand and to put into practice. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. His title is Evangelism Isn't an Option, It's Our Passion.
Good morning. If you're anything like me, you certainly are grateful to God this morning for the blessing to simply be able to suck air. Amen. We are blessed by God Almighty for the privilege we have to be here today, and I am humbled at the invitation that I had to come and be a part of this wonderful workshop this year, to get acquainted with so many brothers and sisters for the first time, to see all of you and to know that you are my brothers and sisters in Christ, and I have such a large family. Amen. We appreciate all of you coming out this morning and being part of this. Of course, certainly you are a part of the faithful, because it's it's more than a notion to get up early on Thursday morning to come and sit and hear somebody talk. We appreciate whatever sacrifices you may have made to be here today, and we trust that what we have to say to you this morning will both inspire and bless your life. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of 2 Corinthians. Our text comes from a very familiar passage of Scripture, chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, beginning with verse number 1. I'll be reading from the New International Version. If you have another version, you can follow along adequately. Here Paul writes to the church, and he says this: Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Christ's sake. For God, who said, Let light shine out of darkness, made his light in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay, to show that this all-surpassing power is from God, not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. Let the church say amen. Our concept and our vision of evangelism has, for the most part, fallen short of the great responsibility that has been placed upon us as evangelists. We have come up with various methods and various ways by which we feel we can carry out this great ministry, and yet still we have fallen short. Evangelism isn't an option. It's our passion. When Jesus gave his commission to his disciples in Mark, the 16th chapter, and in verse number 15, his language was direct, it was emphatic, and it was strong. When he said to them, "Go into the entire world and preach the gospel." Jesus was not one to be vague in his teaching. He was not one to beat around the bush, as it were, or to leave things to chance. Jesus was passionate about both his mission and his message to the world. He was always emphatic and straightforward. His instructions to go left his disciples with no other option but to go. Because this is a workshop, it doesn't mean y'all can't say amen. So whenever you feel the spirit and you feel the notion, just say amen, all right? Amen. It is in this same capacity that Jesus presents this very same challenge to you and I today. For us to finally come to realize that evangelism is not an option. Evangelism has been, for the most part, one of the most misunderstood ministries in the church today. Most of us today see evangelism as a choice, and usually as one that we so often choose not to involve ourselves in. We think of it to be no more than we might choose which class we want to take for school, or which car we want to drive, or whether or not we'll have beef or chicken for lunch. The word option implies the right to choose or the right to accept or reject. However, at the risk of sounding legalistic, we hope to impress upon each of us today in this session that our aim in this study is to help us to see that evangelism has never been portrayed as an option. It has never been a ministry over which we have the power to accept or to reject. If, in fact, our goal is to fear God and keep His commandments. Although many of us are convinced that evangelism is a serious responsibility and a duty which we must perform, many more are yet to be convinced that it is more than simply our responsibility. It is far more than just our duty. Evangelism is our passion. This is really the first step in changing our thinking about evangelism, and to come to embrace evangelism with a whole new attitude. Some of us really need to have a change of attitude when it comes to the idea of evangelism. We must realize and appreciate the fact that we are not in this world just to take up space. We did not get baptized into Christ just to add to the numbers of the membership. But our purpose and our mission here is to seek and to save the lost. You would still be lost if somebody didn't come after you. Isn't that right? Then our responsibility in turn is to go after others who are lost and bring them into Christ. And today we've come to learn and to realize just how we are to accomplish that. Evangelism is the way. Secondly, it is time that we all realize that as a member of the Lord's church, God has called us into participation with Him in the terms of His work in reconciling the world to Himself. This is not a calling for preachers. It is not simply a calling of elders and deacons or any special elite group within the congregation. But it is a calling to every child of God to participate. For far too long, many of us have just been sitting back and watching others do the work and thinking that it is their responsibility. But I beg your pardon, it is your responsibility to get involved in the lives of others, to evangelize the gospel of Jesus Christ, to tell the world the purpose for which you live and the reason why Jesus came into this world to save all of us. On an individual basis, you may not have yet come to realize that God has already endowed you with special gift abilities to be a positive influence in the lives of the people that you interact with every day. However, before we can be passionate about evangelism, we must first come to be passionate toward the love, our love for those who are lost. In other words, we have to learn to love everybody. Say amen, church. We have to learn to love everybody. You've got to love me, I've got to love you, and guess what? I've got to love that man out there who don't even know who I am. And my love for him will allow me to reach out to him and to do for him what somebody did for me one day. That is to bring me into Christ. To bring me into a relationship with Jesus where my soul will be saved. And I have a place with God. The greatest gift you can give to the world is Jesus Christ. And when this happens, when we learn our place in loving others, and we learn to reach out and love everybody, and to embrace everybody as part of our whole mission here in this world, then evangelism becomes personal. And before they have any meaning in your life, it has to become personal. It is, in fact, our passion. And although passion carries with it an array of definitions ranging from good and good and positive to bad and negative, our aim is to capitalize on the good and the positive reference of this term, passion. When we talk about passion, we refer to the motivation that gives us the will to be all that we can be for Jesus Christ and for the sake of lost mankind. When we talk about passion in this context, it is with reference to that powerful and compelling emotion that drives us to move and continue to move even in the face of rejection and conflict. When we talk about passion, it is that driving force in us that tells us that we can. When we're seeing and hearing loudly our circumstances telling us that we can't. When Paul wrote to the Corinthian brethren, he was encouraging them in their faith walk. For in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, he says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." Does that sound familiar to you? I wonder if we really realize the in-depth meaning of that text. We walk by faith and not by sight. Because many of us will allow what we see and even what we hear to dictate how we respond to the world and how we conduct ourselves in the world. But our conduct and our response to the world is not dictated by what we see, nor yet by what we hear, but rather by the Spirit of Christ within us and what we have inside. Because what we have inside is greater than anything that we can see or anything that we can hear. This in turn helps us to see today that we cannot afford to allow what we see and even yet what we hear to prevent us from fulfilling our mission in this world, which is to seek and to save the lost. And that spells evangelism. When we talk about this passion, it is with reference to that compelling force that beckons us to be involved. When circumstances are telling us, don't get involved, they don't want to hear it anyway. However, in order for us to appreciate the need and the passion that we need to have for evangelism. We must come to see and appreciate the problem that sparks the need. We cannot appreciate the solution if we don't understand the problem. And you see, the problem is sin. It's spelled S-I-N, sin. Sound familiar? That's the problem. Simple three-letter word is the greatest problem we have in all the world. Sin. But sometimes our vision, our concept, our understanding of sin is the very thing that keeps us from attacking sin. Because we've given sin a new face. We've given it a new name in various areas so that it doesn't sound hard. So that it's more palatable and more plausible and more acceptable for us to accept and to tolerate. Sin. 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 Sound familiar? Listen to it. Because it is the one thing, it is the one three-letter word that's going to give you the greatest challenge in all your life. It is the challenge that beckons our evangelism. It is the challenge that beckons us to realize and to appreciate what evangelism means in this world. Sin. Because that's the problem. And we are about attacking and eliminating the problem. Sometimes we are the problem. Because we allow sin in our lives. We allow sin to live around us and in us. But until we get rid of this problem, until we learn to attack this problem in the way that the Lord would have us do so, then it's going to be a problem. It's going to be a problem that's going to challenge us each and every day. And we need to get ready, church. We need to get ready. If you're not ready already, you need to get ready. Because this is a problem that we face every day. The problem of sin. Our purpose and mission in the world is to combat and to defeat sin. And when we come to recognize sin for what it really is, only then can we position ourselves to defeat it. And we defeat sin with the gospel. Did y'all know that? Did y'all know that we defeat sin with the gospel? Well, if you know it, say amen. Thank you. We defeat sin with the gospel. Since evangelism is the promulgation, or if you will, the open declaration of the gospel, evangelism becomes the avenue through which we can defeat sin, which again makes it our passion. When it comes to evangelism, we must see sin for what it really and truly is. We often assume that the problem with sin is ignorance. Well, that's true. The problem with sin is ignorance. But it is not... Ignorance is not equated to unbelief. Ignorance and unbelief are not the same. Ignorance is caused by unbelief, but unbelief is rebellion against God, and that's sin. This sin creates blindness, which is the inability to see the light. In our text, in verse number 4, Paul writes and says, "The God of this age has blinded the minds of the unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." They have been blinded by the God of this age. Look around you, church, and you'll see it. Evidence of it all around you every day. You read about it in the newspaper. You see it on your TV sets. You see it in magazines and books. You see it on T-shirts and caps. You see it on bumper stickers and license plates. Everywhere around you, you see the evidence is clear. Sin is rampant. And our responsibility is to attack this sin and not to cower against it. Folks are going to turn away from you. They're going to turn you away because they don't want to hear what you have to say. And yet, in our hearts, we love them enough that we're going to love them enough to go with them, come with them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And whether they hear it or not, we're going to plant the seed. Why? Because it's our passion. And our passion causes us to act when everything says, sit down. Passion causes us to get up and move when everybody wants us to sit still. It is our passion. The real motivation and the key to successful evangelism, however, is reaching people where they live. We must learn to reach people where they live, and there is a way in which we do that, church. Touching their lives with the gospel. To do this, we must build a relationship with them. Now, this is the real crux of our lesson today. This is the real foundation of our study. Of all the different types of evangelism you may know in the world, and we know a number of them, don't we? None of them are as effective as relationship evangelism. And at the risk of stepping on some toes, I am compelled to say that true and effective evangelism is not predicated on information, but it is predicated upon relationship. This is in part the motivation behind Jesus' words when he said in Matthew 5:16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." God always gets the glory. Jesus is simply saying in this text that we must live so that men will see him in us. Live so that so that we're not afraid to let people see and know who we are. Why? Because we don't have anything to hide, do we? Y'all not saying amen. This must not be true of you, right? We don't have anything to hide. But rather, we have something to proclaim. And that is the gospel of Jesus Christ that is within us. That we stand on. And we proclaim it with our lives. So that means we've got to live right in order to teach right. Isn't that right? Y'all say amen. Amen. We've got to live right, church, in order for the world to hear the message of the gospel coming from us. Because if they see something different than what they hear, they will not hear a word you say. This is the heart of true evangelism. This is the heart of that motivates us to go out into the world and share Jesus with those who are lost. There is no room within the body of Christ for cowards. I'll say amen, walls. There is no room in the body of Christ for cowards. We must be brave and bold about who we are and what we believe. And that will give us the fuel and the motivation to go into the world and to evangelize. Why? Because it's our passion. It is not just our duty. It's not just our responsibility. It's not simply another ministry that we undertake. It is our passion. Because Jesus is who we are. Did y'all hear that? Jesus is who we are. It's time we learn that, church. Try to stop making Jesus something and somebody that's apart from us. Make him who we are. And when we do that, when we learn to do that, then we learn to do evangelism. True and real evangelism. Jesus never once approached anybody in the world without building a relationship with them. Can I say that again? That sounded pretty good. Jesus always built relationships. He always got into the lives of people so that his message might get over to them. Before he calls his disciples who were fishermen, he built a relationship with those men. And for 3 years he walked with them, teaching them what he wanted them to know, teaching them how he wanted them to live, showing them the way, and placing with them the spirit that drove them to be apostles of Jesus Christ. And all the time that they walked with him, they learned who he was, they saw who he was, and they lived according to what they saw in Jesus. We must do the same, church. It's time we started to become like Jesus. Amen? You know, we like to advertise on our cars and on our t-shirts and on our caps. What would Jesus do? Huh? Y'all familiar with that? Y'all sure are quiet. But we like to advertise these kinds of things, these kinds of slogans that really sound good, that are what they call in the media, that are bits. that get our attention. But these need to be more than just bits and bytes that get our attention. These must reflect within our hearts who we are and what we mean when we say we are a child of God. What would Jesus do reflects my attitude about everything that involves in my life. Every decision that I make is based on the fact that I consider first what Jesus would do. When you talk about evangelism, you're talking about getting involved. Amen. You're talking about doing something. We like to talk, don't we? Amen. I'm passionate about preaching. I love to preach. But even more than that, we must love to get involved in the lives of people so that we can share Jesus in a real setting. This is all good. You know, we believe that in order to reach the lost, all we got to do is get them the right information. Get them the right track. Sit down with them in a Bible class. Get them to hear the right preacher. Invite them to a gospel meeting. But there is more to it than that, church. We must get involved in the lives of people because evangelism is our passion. It is not our ministry. We talk about personal evangelism. And I dare say that most of us don't really know what that is. We hear a lot about it, don't we? Amen. Y'all may as well say amen. I know it's right. But believe it or not, personal evangelism is not really personal if it is not relational. Well, a few people believe that anyway. As we hurry to a close, you know, after a lack of motivation, one of the major reasons why more people do not engage in personal evangelism is the fear of rejection. Amen. Thank you. I know it's right because I've been there. You have too. Amen, Walls. People often will hesitate to reject strangers. I'm sorry, will not hesitate to reject strangers. Get it right, Tim. Let me say that again so you get it right. People will often not hesitate to reject strangers. But hardly ever will they reject people they know and have a relationship with. Amen? So how do we overcome the fear of rejection? By building a relationship. Building a relationship with the people that you come in contact with to share the gospel with them. Amen? And it's more simple than we think it is. I know some of you have already turned it off. Oh my goodness, you mean I got to build a relationship with everybody? Everybody. Isn't that right? It's time that we reached across some of these barriers that we've built, some of these walls that we've built. You know, walls of culture and walls of race and walls of religion. Amen. We've got to reach the lives of people. Reach them where they live. And that takes the idea, the concept, in Jesus' mind of evangelism. Going out and getting involved in the life of people. Getting people where they live. As the old saying goes that you may have heard often enough, but there's so much truth in it. People will not care how much you know until they know how much you care. Our love for the lost is the very foundation of our ability to evangelize. If we don't love people, we will not go out of our way. We will not even go down the street to share a moment with them. The time is far past for us to sit back and let the preacher and the elders and the deacons and the faithful few within the congregation to do all of the evangelizing. Amen. Don't you know that as a member of the body of Christ, you can evangelize more people by yourself than the preacher can all every Sunday morning? Everywhere you go, you can evangelize. Amen. On the job. And I know many, 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 many employers don't like folk discussing the Bible or religion on the job. But you don't have to discuss religion. All you have to do is get in their life. All you have to do is build a relationship with them. And the Lord will give you the opportunity to share the word. As a matter of fact, the Lord don't have to give you the opportunity. The opportunity is already there by the way you live before them. The way you live before them is a reflection of the gospel of Jesus Christ in your heart. Build a relationship with them so they'll know who you are, and then they'll recognize that there is something about you that they really like, that is different from anybody else, that is different from all the other people that they work with, and I want to get to know who that person is. And when that happens, then we've come to realize that evangelism is not an option. It is our passion. Amen. Pray with me. Kind God, our Father in heaven, we love you, Lord. Before your throne, we bow our heads and we want to tell you how much we love you. And yet words fall short. Lord, we thank you so much for your kindness and your grace, for giving us this day and this opportunity to look into your word once again and to learn what it is you would have us to do and how you have us to conduct ourselves in this world. And so, Father, we come and we ask your forgiveness. Forgive us for our shortcomings. Forgive us for our sin. And help us, Father, to be brave and to be bold with your word, to carry it in our hearts and to carry it to the world so that the world will know you and will know you through us. Guide us and keep us, Father, through the rest of our lives. Thanks again for the privilege. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.